up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, indeed, it's the Pancakes and Power Slam show. We are here once again on a Tuesday evening. I am Chris Featherstone, your host, Derek R. Raw correspondent, / Flavor of the Week connoisseur, be here later on tonight. We got a fun show for you tonight. Of course, we got our Pancakes and Power Slam trivia. Feel free to log on to the chat room or call in live, 347-884-8452. Send your tweets to @CraveWrestling. Start off with our first Pancakes and Power Slams trivia before we get into our special guest. The Quebecers defeated the Steiners for the tag title under what stipulation? The Quebecers defeated the Steiners under what stipulation? All right, I am pleased to introduce such a wonderful, wonderful rising star, hot star, one of the red hot star in the wrestling world. Unfortunately, there was an incident, something that happened that he'll let us know about as far as the reason why he's no longer with TNA. But he is here. He is now. It is tonight. Pancakes and Power Slam show was pleased to introduce none other than Crimson. How are you today? How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Hey, I was you had me on hold for a little bit. I was listening to that intro music. Who does that, man? That's pretty kick-ass.
Eric Cross, actually. His name is Eric Cross. You can actually check him out on iTunes. Yeah,
that's pretty good, man. Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on the show tonight, though.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for spending time with us. So let's get into it. Let's first start off by letting the world know how you started in the business.
How I started in the business. I haven't told this one in a while. A lot of people know that I was in the Army prior to becoming a professional wrestler. I was in the Army for 5 years. It was during my final tenure in the Army that I decided I wanted to move on and try something different, and always been a fan of pro wrestling, so I wanted to get into that, see if I could succeed or get into it, and you know, something I always wanted to do. So I live in the Nashville area, and I found an NWA affiliate out of Nashville to start training me. The guy's name who originally trained me was Jeff Daniels, and you know, he's pretty well known around the area. He's an older vet. He did a bunch of stuff in the early WWF days. Really wise guy, and really taught me a whole lot as far as psychology and the old, you know, different things, old school type ways. Other than that, I hit the indies. I hit it hard, man. I was driving everywhere I could, everywhere I could get booked. I was just going different states, different cities. Had the opportunity to ride along with Jerry Lynn, Tracy Smothers, learned a lot from those guys. A bunch of other vets around the area. So that's pretty much how I got started.
Nice. I heard you say the name. Well, Tracy Smothers is definitely legendary from the old WCW days.
And Jerry Lynn is, you talk about your psychology. Wow, I mean, this guy is one of the best minds in the business, one of the most underrated talents of pro wrestling, period.
You hit the nail on the head with underrated, man. And I used to love, you know, getting in those car rides, driving 2-3 hours, national to national, wherever we were going, but just picking his brain, man. Just anything I could, you know, think of to ask him, I would just lay it on him. And he was, you know, the good thing about Jerry is he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. You know, he's been everywhere, but, you know, still is just a great personality, and he'll be honest with you. He'll tell you straight up, you know, give you answers you not that you necessarily want to hear, but the truth. So it was a good experience.
That's awesome. So other than Tracy Smothers and Jerry Lynn, are there any other wrestlers that helped you in the business, or any wrestlers that inspired you to start wrestling?
As far as inspiration goes, I mean, it's something I was always fascinated with when I was just a little kid, and growing up. It just stuck with me. I've always been, you know, I was a fan as early as I can remember. And as far as inspiration goes, I mean, you have to look at successful guys who had a really good wrestling career and use that to step into other, you know, forms of entertainment or spotlight. And people like The Rock come to mind, you know, and he's always been an inspiration of mine. He's been an athlete, played college football, had an outstanding wrestling career, you know, and still does, and has taken over Hollywood. And the guy is on top of it. So I think as far as inspiration, he's a pretty inspirational guy to try and, you know, emulate or try and, you know, make the most out of your career after, if that makes any sense. I mean, other than that, it's just I was a huge fan. I really just liked the sport, the whole aura of professional wrestling, man, the characters, everything about it. It was just always fascinating me. So, I mean, I remember, as far as inspiration goes, back to when I was a little kid, man, I didn't have a dad growing up, so I was watching, you know, I'd always watch wrestling, and without that fatherly figure in your life, I would turn to guys like Hulk Hogan telling me to say my prayers, take my vitamins, brother, train hard, and that was pretty inspirational as a kid, but, you know, after a while, you kind of grow out of that stage.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there are some 50-year-olds that are still there. So.
Yeah.
all right, so let us know. You were talking about, you know, going up and down, you know, the roads in Nashville and getting into gigs. So what exactly landed you in TNA? How did that come about?
It was actually pure coincidence. I ran into Terry Taylor, and he was talent relations back in, you know, 09 with TNA. And he was at an indie show, a local Prentice Nashville show, and he was there, you know, I guess him and Bert have a history, you know, old friends, and he was in the area. I think he lived in Nashville, and he was there checking out one of the other guys on the roster. And I was a little late to the show because I had a double shot that night. I had another show first and other side of Nashville, and then I was riding out to this show where Terry was at. And, you know, I by the time I got to the building, my music was playing, and I was already in gear, just went out straight to the ring. As soon as I got to the back after my match, Terry came to the back and kind of pulled me aside and talked to me. You know, it was the first time I'd met him. He'd ever seen me. And around the time Hogan and Bischoff first signed with TNA. And, you know, Terry was pretty honest with me. We talked my whole car ride home over the phone, and, you know, he said there wasn't, you know, any room for me right now. Just keep doing what I'm doing. There's no developmental. Just keep hitting the indies hard and stay in touch. And, you know, I think that was the first person from TNA to actually kind of show interest in me. And I just stayed in contact. And at the same time, you know, at the time, I was going in for some WWE shots and talking with John Laurinaitis and, you know, hoping for a possibility to go down to developmental or get signed with WWE. And you know, Terry, I think several months later I finally emailed Terry back. You know, I emailed Terry and said, you know, it's been probably 9-10 months, almost a year since we, you know, spoken or seen that are seeing each other, and you know, I just basically told them what the situation was, what I had going on as far as my wrestling career, and it was really starting to take off around that period, and he invited me down to Orlando to have a dark match, and I seemed to impress some of the right people, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's impressive. Well, speaking of impressive, you went on about a year and a half undefeated streak. How did that, how was your reaction when, you know, they put you on this monstrous push? Was there ever any major title considered during this undefeated streak?
You know, I don't know. Honestly, I didn't expect it first coming in. Everything happened fairly quickly, you know, with me going down there, getting a couple dark matches and getting signed. And, you know, going, doing the whole gut check gimmick and then, you know, getting signed. And, you know, I got brought in and they had one idea. They were teaming me and Red up. And all of a sudden that vanished and they sent me off into another direction in Red as well. So I don't think anybody really saw it coming, including myself. And I don't know as far as, you know, major, you know, title pictures. I'm not sure what was all talked about. I think it was just, you know, let's just see where this goes. Me and Morgan held the tag team titles for a little while, and, you know, I think, you know, as for me, that was a great, you know, moment in my career to be world tag team champion, especially with a guy like Matt Morgan. So I wish, you know, I would have had the opportunity to get in there and contend for the world heavyweight title. But, you know, it just didn't work out that way.
Yeah, I mean, especially the push that they gave you. I mean, as far as undefeated streaks, I think there was probably only two memorable undefeated streaks in TNA history, and that is yours and Samoa Joe's, both of you.
Having an
insane undefeated streak. Do you remember exactly how many days it was?
Yeah, it was 470 days undefeated.
Wow. Yeah. 470 days. And like you said, you did have a run with Matt Morgan as tag team champions. And my next question was, you know, how was it working with Matt Morgan? Feel free to go in a little bit more details as far as working with Matt Morgan and becoming world tag team champions with him.
Morgan, he's a great guy. He's a big guy. He's one of the best big men in pro wrestling today. And, you know, as far as any help I needed or anything I needed as far as working that style, you know, the big man style, that, you know, it was good to have Matt there, you know, to help me along with that. I was used to being the big man on the indies, but once I got signed to TNA, it was, you know, I'm still bigger than a lot of people, but, you know, now I'm in the ring with guys like Joe, with guys like Morgan, with Abyss, you know, guys that are bigger than me or, you know, same size. So I had to kind of find a happy medium there between big man and, you know, not necessarily little guy style or exhibition style, but just a happy meeting. And that was a huge help to me. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun getting in there and just beating guys up, man, I'll be honest with you. You know, because that was, you know, we went in there with Road Warrior mentality, and when we just went in there and beat guys up. And it was a lot of fun for a while it lasted.
Road Warrior mentality. I think that's a good way to explain it, because I remember those old school days back in Georgia Championship Wrestling when they would just, the bell would ring and they would just start pounding.
Oh, so, man. People, yeah. Guys were just scared, you know, to get in there with
them.
And that, you know, it was a different time back then, but we still wanted to have that mentality going into it. You know, listen, there's nobody that's gonna get the best of us going in this ring. Let's go out there, let's beat people up, man. And I think one of the best ones was when Anarchia was, you know, teaming with Hernandez. We had a little feud with those guys, and I felt so bad for Anarchia every night. You know, he'd take their double choke slam through the mat. He'd be limping. It hurt, man. It's just, you know, hey, sorry.
But But he, you know, he took the bumps though, so kudos to him for that for sure.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. Yeah. I just wonder how the reaction would have been if you and Morgan came out with some shoulder pads. I just wonder how
that'd have been different.
Yeah, it would have been different, very, very much. So you, 470 odd days, and so you lost. If I'm not mistaken, you turned heel, and then James Storm broke the streak, right?
Yeah. Yep. That's how it went. Shortly
and
after,
so,
I turned heel.
Yeah. And so, what was the decision to pull the plug on the streak, and was there any type of direction going with it, or did they just decided to end the streak?
Around that time, man, different people came in and filled some different positions as far as creatively and behind the scenes, and certain people filtered out. So I wasn't really told a whole lot as far as why or the direction it was going. The only words I would get mainly were, you know, it's going to go a different direction and you got something else in mind. A lot of that, you know, not a whole lot of exact details. But, I mean, that's to be expected in pro wrestling in general. You're not going to know everything, you know, and not to mention that things aren't going to go as planned as it is. A lot of things happen. A lot of things need to change on the fly. So I wasn't really sure where it was going to go. I do know this, that I wish, you know, with the whole Goldberg thing started to pick up steam. You know, he responded to me on Twitter a couple times, and, you know, I wish when they were going to end it, you know, they would have brought in, you know, maybe Goldberg, we could have done some sort of business there and, you know, maybe ended it a little better. But at the time, Cowboy, he was, I think he just got off a, you know, title run, and he's making his return as well. So, I mean,
yeah.
I love James Storm, and you know,
yeah.
I was really hoping to do business with Goldberg, man, and I wish they would have capitalized on that, but they never did.
Yeah, and just to have a streak that long, I mean, and the thing is, the way that, I mean, first of all, just to book someone being undefeated for, you know, over a year, I mean, you know, a year and a half, you know, that alone is a big deal, because you rarely ever see that, especially in WWE or TNA. And then, you know, just I totally agree with you. I think that it could have been capitalized. I think the payoff wasn't as good as it could have been. I mean, especially the book you that long, and the payoff wasn't that good to me.
Right, yeah, and that was the general consensus with a lot of people, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, I'm not making that call, and there's only a couple people that are, so.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the way it went.
And then with that, I mean, a lot of momentum was lost. So what was the transition from the loss, the first loss to OVW? Eventually you started to really start to hone your craft again in OVW. How was that transition?
Well, it was a good, I mean, it was an easy transition, only because prior to me going to OVW, I'd been sitting at home. You know, I'd had that loss to James Storm. I had maybe one match on TV after that, and then I sat at home for a couple months, and, you know, April, not last April, but the April before, I had just signed a new deal, a restructured deal, and basically, you know, I was sitting at home, you know, and I got, you know, I was just tired of sitting at home. I wanted to take initiative. I wanted to do something for myself, and this is where a lot of people, you know, are mistaken. You know, I've read some stuff on the internet, and I've, you know, it's gotten back to me that, you know, OV Crimson set to OVW, you know, this and that. But it was me. I made the call to Al Snow and said, look, you know, I'm sitting at home. You know, I want to stay in shape. I want to stay sharp. I want to continue to improve. I want to continue to learn. I need to do something out, you know, and can you use me at OVW? And that's when he said, sure, come on in. We'll get you into TV and we'll go from there. And that's how that started. And I started driving in with a couple other guys every Wednesday for their TVs. And it was pretty cool. You know, it was a double-edged sword. I learned a lot, man, and I loved working with Al Snow and being able to talk to Al every week, because that guy he knows everything. He, as far as psychology and professional wrestling, this guy, I mean, I could listen to him all day, and he's got an explanation for everything, why something needs to be the way it is. And it was tremendous just being able to, learn from Al. At the same time, I was a little frustrated. You know, there's a lot of frustration, I'll be honest with you, sitting at home. You know, I'm young in my career. I just started getting going, and I'm ready to be on the road. I'm ready to, to be working as much as I can. And frustration was setting in. But what it did was allow me to kind of sit back and work on more character development, you know. And I pitched some ideas to Al about running with the military gimmick, a heel gimmick. And he liked it, and we had a former Marine in Louisville who was trained under Danny Davis, and he's got a lot of potential. He's doing really well. Just kind of stuck, you know. He didn't have a whole lot going on, so I pitched some ideas to Al. You know, put us together. Let's do this SEAL military stable, and the difference between somebody else being a militarized unit is that we actually have a legitimate background, so that's something legitimate to the storyline. So it went really well, and it allowed me to kind of work on different stuff, character wise, and it was a good time, to be honest with you. At the same time, I was, I heard nothing but great feedback, and the hopes were to eventually, hopefully, get that character, that gimmick on TV. And that's what I was, that's what was supposed to be leading into, and it just didn't pan out that way, I guess. I guess other people had different ideas. But it was good. It was a good time. It allowed me to really concentrate and focus on what I needed to do to get better. So, I can't say anything bad about OVW or being in OVW for as long as I was.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I was really starting to get in with the gimmick before I ask you the next question. I'm actually going to address one of the questions in the chat room. We were talking about the undefeated streak. Someone in the chat room asks, is an undefeated streak as good as being a champion as far as reputation? I mean, what do you think about that?
Oh, everybody wants to be world champion. I mean, bottom line, that's what you get in this business for. If you don't get in this business to be world champion, to be the best, then you shouldn't be in the business at all. So,
yeah,
an undefeated streak is just essentially a number, and it doesn't define the person. What defines the person is whether or not he's good enough to be world champion. And that was, that's been the goal since the beginning. Once the undefeated streak, once that was over and done with, I was ready to move forward. I was ready to excel, to keep going, to keep moving forward. So in my opinion, I guess, being a world champion, that would be a more defining moment in career.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That was some great explanation as far as OVW, and you were talking about how you really wanted the gimmick to kind of advance and get known on TV. I remember when you came back for the Bound for Glory series to go against Joseph Park, and you cut a promo, had a different look as far as what people were used to seeing you, and it worked. And I remember watching the show live, and I was like, oh great, Crimson's back on national TV, and I really hope that he is in the series. Joseph Park won. I'm like, what is this? I actually have a on WrestlingInc.com. I actually write a Impact Wrestling review a column every Thursday, and I mentioned that on the column. Like, man, just I have no idea why Crimson was not used with, even with the new look. It's catchy to be in the series because, you know, unfortunately Joseph Park isn't really he's one of the bottom two. I would add Jay Bradley in there too, as far as people who just really don't stand a chance as far as winning. But I do think that you would have been a better choice than Joseph Park. I wondered, and then the release was not too long after that. Wondered if there was any type of plans for you to stay on TV. I mean, were there any talks after that one-off match with Park?
No, nothing that went directly to me. And I think, you know, at that time, you know, right around my release, and a lot, that time was just so, it was a weird time for TNA. A lot of people were getting released. A lot of people were getting let go, not just talent. You know, we're talking Office Production, all over the board there, just cleaning house. And, you know, I didn't hear much after the Joseph Park match, but I kind of knew, I kind of had an idea what I was walking into once I saw what the lineup was. And, you know, it wasn't really talked about, am I coming back as General Crimson, this gimmick I've been doing for the past year at OVW, or am I coming back as, doesn't know how to talk, all he knows how to do is yell, Crimson, undefeated, you know? So, nobody really gave me that specific direction. So I kind of just went in there. I wanted to get this new gimmick over, and I wanted it to turn people's heads, and I wanted to get people's attention with it. And that's what I went out there to do. And if you notice, if you watch that promo back, you can see where they just made blatant cuts. They edited a lot of my promo out. I guess they weren't happy with, you know, how real I got with it, or I don't know what the problem was. They said I only went too long, but it was definite cuts to that promo, which, you know, upset me a little bit too. So I think there was just a disconnect as far as, you know, what they wanted from me specifically. And, you know, my Twitter was, brother, once that match aired and, you know, the result was Joseph Park won, and I was out of the Bound for Glory series, my Twitter, my social media was blowing up with the same, you know, concern, outrage, you know, the same reaction you had, basically. And I just, you weren't the only one, man. I heard it across the board. And I wish it would have been differently, you know, because, hell, 2 years before that, I think I was leading the whole series for most of the year until I got injured.
Yeah. Wow. So the release comes. How did you know? How did you find out? What was your reaction? Explain the details of the release.
I found out word was getting around, man, that they were ready to clean house. You know, some of the talent that wasn't being used on wasn't pertinent to TV might have a chance of being released. I didn't really know. I didn't think. You know, I didn't expect to be released. I didn't know. You know, I would hope that they had a little more, you know, faith in their investment that they've made for the past 3.5 years or 2-3 years. But I got a call from Al Snow, like late in the evening, on I think it was the 2nd of July. That's when the official release was. But, yeah, I got a call from Al Snow, and he's, you know, doing the compilations thing at the time. And, you know, we just talked. And I was used to talking to Al every week, you know, a couple times a week. So there's no – he's heard all my frustrations. He's told me a lot, you know, and he's called me down. He's had to call me down a lot. So I once I had him on the phone, I kind of knew what it was. And like I said, after the Joseph Park match, I kind of knew where it was going. And before that, I'd been off TV for about a year. So once that happens, you can't stay still. So once I'm sitting home for about 8 months, I'm doing OVW, I'm doing different things, but I'm thinking, I'm moving forward. I got to move forward. I got to progress. I can't do another year of sitting at home on my ass, that's for sure. You know, and I don't know what they had as far as plans. So I wasn't too upset when he called, and we kind of just leveled with each other and, you know, said goodbye, and that was it.
Mm. Wow. Didn't really give you any reason. It's just more of a looking at the roster and cutting people and they're not utilizing. Was it more of that type of deal?
It was, you know, the way I was explained, it was more budget than anything. A lot of guys were sitting at home, not on TV, making money. And going on the road, that's a big expense for TNA, and I don't know if they're, you know, how well they're doing as far as that goes. But basically they had to do a restructure, and, you know, some of that talent that was sitting at home making money, it's had to be let go. And they restructured, I think, everybody's deals as far as guarantees and per appearance, you know, stuff like that. I just, that's all I know. I don't know too much, you know, and I don't really care to know, to be honest with you. It could have been a number of things, you know. All I know is they're using budget cuts as the reason that is why they had let a lot of people go. Other than that, I wouldn't know. No one, if anyone had a problem with me or if anyone didn't like what I was doing, they sure didn't tell me to my face. So, who knows? You know, and I also, you know, I've been injured for a while too. I've had a knee injury for the past over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't been able to, you know, compete at my very best, and it's only continuing to get worse. So once I got, you know, that call from Al, I was kind of thankful because I really need to get my knee surgery. I need to get my knee taken care of so I can move forward with my wrestling career. So
what exactly are you aiming for now since you've been released for TNA? Is there any interest in WWE, or have you been contacted by them yet?
First things first, and that's my knee. You know, I've been injured for a couple of years, and when I first injured my knee, I got an MRI done, and they said I, you know, tear my ACL, and, you know, I've just started with TNA. So, you know, I just taped it up real tight, you know, put a roll of tape on it, put my braces on, and just went out there and just pushed through it. You know, in 2 years, that can wear you down. And I recently got another MRI done, and they said my ACL is fine. If it was a partial tear in my ACL, it's healed, but I have a torn meniscus in my right knee. So that's not going to heal on its own. I need to go in and get surgery for that. So that's the first order of business, going in there, getting that taken care of so I can compete at my absolute best once I'm recovered and rehabbed from the knee injury, which I don't expect to be too long. Meniscus recovery time, they say average 4 to 6 weeks. So once that's done, I'm looking to get out there again, man. I got some stuff lined up around knee surgery. Not a whole lot, keeping the schedule light so I can get healed up. But, you know, once that's said and done and I'm back and ready to go, WWE is, you know, obviously top of the list. I'd still like to go overseas. Japan would be nice. You know, I just want to get out there and make the best of the pro wrestling career, man. I can't predict the future, but I can tell you this, that, you know, failure is not an option. You know, I'm a soldier, so I refuse to lose. I'll end up somewhere.
Fantastic. Yeah, Japan would be a great option. I'm familiar with the, you know, Japanese wrestling in New Japan and All Japan, and I definitely think there are some Cajun, you know, wrestlers that been successful there. And of course, Tensai. Now he was Giant Bernard at the time. Of course, Carl Anderson, and even when Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar was in Japan, and just a number of superstars that decided to, you know, really hone their craft and make a good living in Japan and really get appreciated by the crowd there. And I definitely think that you would have a great fit in Japan. So I definitely wish you the best with that. And even, you know, of course, WWE, just like you said, that should be every wrestler's desire, at least, you know,
that's
the claim of the
club. I hope so, you know.
Yeah. So let's just do some fantasy booking here. If you had an opportunity to wrestle at WrestleMania 30, who would your opponent be?
You know, it's either Punk or Brock, I'd have to say, man. You know, if the fact that Heyman's involved with, you know, anything they got going on is going to make it just above the normal, you know. So, and Brock, he adds that legitimacy to the WWE. He brings that mean streak. You know, he's a bad dude in the UFC. He beat a lot of people up, and he brought that to the WWE, or back to the WWE, and it'd be a fight. You know, I've been in there, fighting with the best of them. You know, Joe, Angle, all those guys. I think a fight with Brock would be pretty fun.
Awesome. Brock Lesnar, Crimson against Brock Lesnar. Who's the heel?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. Much. I don't know if that would even matter, man.
Okay. If you had a chance to, like, if you were in the office with Vince McMahon and he said, you know, Crimson, you know, you want to be face or heel? what would your on the spot answer be? You have the choice, and we're going to pick it.
Let's let the crowd decide. Let's just go out there. Let's let the crowd pick.
Okay. we'll let the crowd decide. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, you're a tweener until the crowd, you know, boos you. We'll take that for now.
Yeah.
Got another question in the chat room. Is there any consideration for ROH?
As of right now, no. I just don't want to go. I've been enjoying a lot of family time. I've had a lot of time to kind of just sit back and enjoy my family, my 1-year-old son, and I haven't really been, you know, I'm not in panic mode. It's just, you know, I'm still young in my career. I'm not reaching out to everybody I know to try and, hey, can I get in here? Can I get in there? You know, I haven't really considered Ring of Honor. I haven't really considered much of anything right now. So the only thing that that is in stone needs to happen is this knee surgery before I even consider anything else. So,
yeah. Wow. You said you have a 1-year-old son?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Wow.
And as soon as I started with TNA, man, I hit the road hard. I was hardly home for a good, you know, solid year and a half, almost 2 years. And yeah, that's part of the business, but I got to miss a lot of him growing up, and, you know, to be able to sit back and spend more time with him now, it's been amazing. Life.
Oh, amazing. Amazing indeed. My son is almost 1 as well. So I know.
Oh, that's awesome,
exactly. Man. Yeah. I know exactly what that means. That word awesome doesn't even, you know, tip the iceberg as far as describing time spent with your boy. So I totally commend you for that, and congratulations as well. All right, let's do a little bit of name association. I'm gonna give you five names, one by one. Let me know within a couple sentences, few sentences, how you genuinely feel, you know, about this person. So let's start off with Austin Aries.
Austin Aries, he's just amazing talent. The guy's amazing in the ring. He and not only that, he's a help. You know, if you have questions, he's there to answer. He's there to help you. You know, and he Aries is someone I really liked a lot. You know, I hung out with quite a bit when I was there. So I got nothing negative to say about Aries. I think he got a world title run for a short period of time. I wish it would have lasted longer, man. He proves a lot of people wrong, and I like that about him.
I agree. Being the smaller guy and
yeah.
getting the reaction that he's had, I think that's one thing I do like about fans in TNA and ROH. I think they have more of an appreciation for indie guys
mm-hmm.
and a keener sense of the wrestling business versus the sports entertainment business, if you
right.
know what I mean.
Obviously the territory days are over, you know, but, you know, mm-hmm. the closest thing we have to the territories is just traveling to different states, different areas to different indies, you know, and wrestling with some of the more experienced guys in each area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guys in ROH are a prime example of that, and some of the younger guys, some of the, you know, guys TNA signed in the past, you know, they're old, younger guys, AJ and guys like that, you know, who worked all those indies, Joe. I mean, that can't be, the experience is just unmatchable, you know, the things you learn in different areas. So that's, again, why, you know, I mentioned going, a possibility of going to Japan or somewhere like Mexico, just because I want to be a more well-traveled, a world-traveled wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome. All right, how about Bruce Pritchard?
Brother Love. I like, you know, Bruce, he's talent relations, so it's a tough job, you know, when you're dealing with talent. I can't say anything bad about Bruce. When Bruce first came in, me and him had a few talks, and he was a believer in me, and, you know, had a lot of good things to say and help me with along the way. So I generally like Bruce. About all I have to say about that, and I love this character, his gimmick, Brother Love, back in the day, man. So Brother Love is over.
I don't think that there's anybody who didn't appreciate the Brother Love gimmick, and I tell you what, the Brother Love theme song was just absolutely amazing. Everything about that just screamed, you know, I love you. And the red face, I think everything was just absolutely amazing about Brother Love. Did anyone in the back, in the locker room, did anyone refer to Pritchard as Brother Love? I understand, you know, he was in talent relations. He was an authority type figure. Shoot straight here. Did any of the person, did anybody in the locker room was mad one day or something like that, or just trying to mock him and say Brother Love?
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. No one said it to his face, but it's been tossed around. I mean, Brother Love, he's got to expect it. You know, people are going to remember that. They're never going to forget Brother Love. But I haven't heard anyone completely bury him for it or anything. But, you know, it was mentioned quite often, but certainly nobody said it to his face.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine they wouldn't, especially those who aren't main eventers or champions. You know, have a little lower in the pecking order. So.
Right, right.
All right, I've got a name for you here. Drum roll, Dixie Carter.
Dixie. She's a nice woman.
She's a nice one. Okay.
So are you expecting more?
Is that really how you feel about Dixie Carter?
She's a nice lady. Just there's not a whole lot I can say about her. I didn't know her too well, you know, so.
Okay.
I hope she's successful and TNA is successful, because pro wrestling needs TNA, you know, to thrive. I think, you know, WWE needs a competitor or someone in that spot, you know. So I hope nothing but the best for Dixie, you know, and I wish her the best during this restructuring phase. And you know, too bad I can't be a part of it, but I'm ready to move on. I was ready to move on.
I think you need to be on the ballot for mayor. You still live in Nashville?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think you need to be on the ballot for Nash for mayor, because you did a fantastic job weaving yourself out of that. Because to go from she's a nice lady, pause, to WWE needs competition, which is absolutely true, I think that that was a great way to get out of that.
If you can't pick up, you know, what I'm laying down from just that, then, you know, then it's over your head. Not you necessarily, but it's over the people's head. And, you know, if you can't feel what I'm saying, then oh well. But I think a lot of people get the gist of what I'm trying to say. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And there's always that moment where, you know, you're open to going back. So you don't want to say too much, I'd imagine. Great job there. Eric Bischoff.
Bischoff.
He's a nice guy.
he was very, you know, when I first met Eric, he was really unapproachable. A lot of people, you know, would say that about him, but I started warming up to guys, and I think that, you know, and I see where you're going here. It's no coincidence that you're bringing up the names that you're bringing up here, trying to stir the pot, man. But Bischoff, he's got a lot of good ideas, man. He's got a lot of good ideas, creatively and production wise. And I pitched some stuff to Eric, you know, time and time again, you know, hoping he'd get on board with. You know, I pitched something like the Coalition, like, 2 years ago, before the Shield debuted, you know, and I pitched something similar to that, same angle, you know, for me and Gunner, sort of a militarized, just a couple of mercenary guys just mad at the world to beat people up, you know, and with that legitimate background, and you know, things, there was talk about it, and then it kind of fizzled out. I think Eric's he's a good guy to have, or he's a good guy to learn from. I don't I wasn't around him a whole lot, man. I can only assume, since he's got a reality TV show about the Biker Gang, that Ace Snakes, you know, is something that he, he either creatively came up with, or maybe an idea of his, and that's the only thing that, you know, I don't. I mean, the Aces and Eights, I think it's different as far as in having a motorcycle gang involved in, or I don't know. I guess that's what it was supposed to be at first. I don't know what the deal is now, but a biker gang involved in wrestling is kind of out there. It's kind of a little different. Kind of hard to believe. Yes, but
yeah. Well, I think, you know, if I'm stirring the pot, you're doing a good job seasoning the pot.
If I'm doing a shoot interview, I got to get paid for that, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you, man. Amen to that, sir. Absolutely. I think you're doing a fantastic job.
I'm kidding, man. Honestly, man, there's just so much negativity in pro wrestling as it is, and I've experienced a lot of it just in the short amount of time that I've been in the business. And I can't help but to try and take something positive out of every situation. You know, you can't dwell and fester on the negativity, or else it'll drive you insane. You know, so I try and take every situation, I try and at least take something positive out of it. And honestly, nobody did anything too terrible to me or to my face, or, you know, not that I know. So I can't really particularly say bad things about people. You know, if that makes sense, man. There's a lot of frustration, sure, but not aimed specifically at anybody in particular.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's cool.
What other names you got?
Well, you got the hard part. The last name I have is Hulk Hogan.
Hogan. Hulk Hogan. He's, you know, Hulk. like I had mentioned before, man, he was just, I was just a big Hulkamaniac growing up. And it was honestly really, it was the only time I felt like I stepped back and was like, wow, this is pretty cool. Is when I first met Hogan, you know, backstage, you know, TNA, like, okay, I used to watch this guy as a kid. You know, my earliest memory is Hulk Hogan on the TV. Now I'm getting to work with this guy. So that was pretty cool. Anything I ever asked of Hulk, he helped me out. You know, he had nothing but great advice to give me. Whether it was sincere or not, you know, who knows. But he was always pretty decent to me. It seems that, you know, wrestling needs Hulk Hogan. Wrestling doesn't need Brooke Hogan or, you know, anybody else that is in the family. So that's pretty much all I got to say about
the Hulk story. Wow, I think that is very well said. I definitely agree with that as well. I think that was a great way to describe those names. And lastly, Crimson, as far as, you know, you did explain as far as your surgery and everything, we definitely here at Pancakes and Power Slams, we wish you the best in your surgery, and definitely, you know, take care of that boy. And you know, I know that you are. After the surgery, is there anything booked now as far as post surgery, or basically after surgery, it's just getting on the grind and getting dates ready?
Coming up, I have some things coming up in the next couple months in the Carolinas. At the end of the month, I'm in South Carolina, and that'll be most likely before I get in for my surgery. And then I got some things at the end of next month in North Carolina. It'll probably be after my surgery. But I don't have too much scheduled right now. It's just been a long process trying to get in and seen by an orthopedic surgeon. I go in on the 15th, finally, you know, in a few days on Thursday to talk to the surgeon on the, you know, possibilities and what we need to do as far as surgery and when, what type of surgery and things like that. So I'll have more details after the 15th, and hopefully have a surgery date, you know, by then too. So, you know, and I've been pretty quiet on Twitter. I haven't had a lot of talk about, man, I've been enjoying my family way too much and, you know, just taking it easy and trying to get the surgery knocked out. So once I have more information, I'll be sending it out there, tweeting it out to everybody, getting it out there.
Awesome. Where can we find you on Facebook and Twitter? So we can, well, of course, I know where you are, but as far as the listeners, you know, the nationally listened to show here. So where exactly can we find you to give us, you know, give you our thoughts and prayers and support along the way?
I love the support, man. Find me on Twitter at Crimson, just Crimson, at Crimson. And then on Facebook as well, just got on Facebook not too long ago. It's facebook.com/ official Crimson Army.
Mm-hmm.
And on Instagram at official Crimson. So, yeah, man, like I said, I love the support. I love the well wishes. You bring the negativity, you know, I'll have some words for you. Or I'll just block you either way, so it don't matter.
Yeah, either or. Awesome. Crimson, it has been a fantastic discussion and awesome talking with you. I think just the way that, you know, your decorum and that you handled the names thrown out and everything in between, I think that you're a class act. I'm sure that it wasn't an easy thing to get released from, you know, TNA, you know, like you said, you know, WWE needs TNA as far as a competitive standpoint. And as many people, like I said, I'm a journalist. I write for wrestling.com and the Bleacher Report. I hear I've literally had thousands and thousands of comments, so many people bashing TNA. But, you know, at the same time, you got to respect the product because it does bring some competition. And I would imagine that if any of those people who comment, you know, aspire to be wrestlers, they wouldn't mind landing a job at TNA. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. So it has to not be an easy thing, but it looks like you're rebounding pretty well. So I wish you the best. Take care of the boy. And any closing thoughts?
No, man. And that's another thing. You know, this is my first interview since I've been released. But you know, just letting people know that I'm not bitter, I'm not angry. You know, I'm not regretful for anything. You know, it was a good experience for me, but it was my time to move on. I knew that. A lot of people knew that, and there's bigger and better things lined up for Crimson. Bottom line, man. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
After this surgery, nothing but moving forward. Nothing but better things, bigger, better things ahead.
Yes, hopefully we'll see you in WWE sooner or later, brother.
That's what I like to hear, man.
All right. You have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Fantastic, fantastic interview by Crimson. First time, you know, like you said, the first interview post-release from TNA, and I think he did such a fantastic job. I really think that he's going to do a good job rebounding from the release, and looks like he's already doing that. So, again, we at Cray Wrestling, the Pancakes with Power Slam show, Crimson, we wish you the best with your surgery and just being a dad and just your future endeavors. Future endeavors is actually supposed to be a positive term, but we hear it so much that it's had a negative connotation to it, but we really do wish you the best in your future endeavors. And like I said, I was a fan of his work and hopefully we'll see him in WWE sooner or later. So, all right, let's go on with the show. Just a real quick Raw recap. And then Derek, our correspondent, would be on the show. Leading into SummerSlam, the 25th year, but the 26th anniversary. It's interesting how they do that. Raw started off with Wade Barrett against Daniel Bryan, defeating Daniel Bryan because of Brett Maddox being a special guest referee. Fast counts Daniel Bryan. One thing that I did like about that was Wade Barrett winning. He actually won a match that hardly ever happens, and so I'm definitely happy about that. And I was okay with the whole fast count thing. It made sense. So Randy Orton defeated Damian Sandow, distraction by Cody Rhodes, leading to their match against at SummerSlam. Great Khali and Natalya defeats Big E and AJ Lee. Let's real quick. That was one of the weirdest spots, weirdest segments, weirdest matches that I have seen in quite some time. I don't remember exactly the match, but it was like a mixed tag match when Jackie Gata was in the WWE and Christopher Nowinski. And they went against Trish Stratus, and the other name it draws blank right now. But that mixed tag match was just incredibly awful. But this one here was a disappointment only because Natalya is, in my opinion, the best diva wrestler on the roster. And AJ Lee is a great wrestler as well. And just the tap out, and they had to try to salvage the situation, they blamed it on the ref. The sharpshooter just was not executed very well. AJ tapped. It looks like she missed her cue and she had to do it again. It was a real weird segment, especially since they spent all that time to build up a mixed tag and a rivalry between Big E and AJ against Dolph Ziggler and Caitlyn, only for them to lose against the Great Khali and Natalya, two people who hardly ever win a match. So what type of, how are we supposed to believe that Big E and
AJ is going to beat Dolph Ziggler and Caitlyn. It kind of throws it off a little bit. It was just a really weird segment. This is a man segment with Brett Maddox about the point of a special guest referee, but Triple H comes out and offers himself, and he pedigrees Maddox. Triple H is a special guest referee now. Little fishy. I mean, we report on wrestling.com that there were plans of him to turn heel with Vince McMahon, but they are nixed now. However, it might be some reconsideration because just Triple H just being the special guest referee and appointing himself right before the actual SummerSlam event. I think that we're going to see an interesting finish. Kane defeated Titus O'Neil. Very slow match. Wasn't a big fan of it. And then, of course, the Wyatt family appears for Kane, but Kane escapes to the stage. That was okay. But at the end of the day, what does it really mean? As far as Kane, it didn't really make any difference other than, you know, him getting some momentum just to lose. We're going to go with our SummerSlam predictions, and I'll officially let you know what I feel about that. But I think everybody's on the same boat as far as who's going to win that match. Alberto Del Rio defeats Kofi Kingston. Just a throwaway match. Didn't really do anything for anybody. Kofi Kingston is unfortunately just someone who's just a jobbing punching bag, even with his quote-unquote new look. Uso defeats Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro. Good tag team match there. Miz TV with Daniel Bryan and John Cena. Triple H and Randy Orton appears. It was a decent Miz TV segment. They both cut, you know, pretty convincing promos. Kudos to John Cena, though. I think he did. Of course, he, you know, went to the Make-A-Wish and did all that to cause people to give him some face pops, you know, for a while. But then he got his heel heat right after that. But I think both of them did a fantastic job cutting promos. R-Truth versus Fandango leads to a no contest. They both dance, and then Fandango attacks R-Truth. R-Truth gets the advantage, and the match is thrown out. I have no idea what that meant. That was just a waste of time. RVD wins the U.S. title, number one contender Battle Royal. I think that was a good decision. We did report on Wrestling Inc. Through 4W that one of the possible candidates for RVD was Antonio Cesaro in a pre-show match. The pre-show match part was right, but they did decide to go with Dean Ambrose because originally there was just some things going on with Ambrose, some Christian with thrown in there, and then the handicap match against Show and Henry was thrown in there. Now it looks like they're settling with RVD. That's going to be a good match. I'm very confident in that match as far as it being on the pre-show. And I think being on the pre-show is also a good idea as well. Although I would have preferred the mixed tag match on the pre-show, to be honest. Shield appears. Mark Henry is the last person eliminated. He gets back in the ring to help out RVD in a returning Big Show. He was up the numbers. The Shield retreats. Looks like we'll see Mark Henry and Big Show against the Shield. I'm not too interested in that. Paul Heyman tells CM Punk that he has set a trap. He brings out Brock Lesnar. And then CM Punk finally gets his retribution, finally gets his advantage on CM Punk by hitting him with a camera and chairs. And then he tries to chase Heyman to the stage. And then basically, Curtis Axel comes out and try to protect them, but CM Punk takes them out. That was a decent segment, to end the show, and just to really do a good job building the feud. Finally, CM Punk gets his retribution after getting trounced. I believe it was twice by Brock Lesnar. So, feel good, you know, for all the CM Punk fans, feel good moment for the end of the show. I started off the show before the interview asking a question of the Quebecers defeated the Steiners for the tag team title under what stipulation? And the correct answer is indeed Quebec Rules. Next question, before I bring Derek Terrell correspondent in. After Demolition, Smash became what gimmick? After Demolition, Smash became what gimmick? All right, we're going to bring in the man, Derek Terrell correspondent. What do you have for us tonight, sir?
Hey, first thing I want to give big props. Chris Featherstone brought in Crimson. First interview since he was let go from TNA. Crimson, excellent, excellent, awesome job. Same thing with Chris Featherstone. He really asked some hard questions, the whole name, what he thought about the names and everything. I can't commend Chris enough for bringing Pancakes and Power Slams to the air, bringing in all the awesome interviews he's had. This one tonight was just absolutely excellent. So a big my hat off to Chris. Keep up the good work. We want to do everything we can here at Pancakes and Power Slams. Continue bringing you awesome interviews, news, anything we can to entertain the crowd and let them know how passionate we are about the professional wrestling business, and this is what we like to do, and the results are showing. So we had Daniel Bryan versus Wade Barrett last night. Brad Maddox is a guest referee. Again, a fast count. How many times have we seen that in the past? You always know something's going to come up. All of a sudden, guest referee. Of course, Maddox is going to stir the pot. He did just that. And gives Barrett the win. Again, that's kind of unusual for him to win, but Brad Maddox made it that way. And last night, Sandow versus Orton, I thought it was a fairly decent match. I like Cody Rhodes being on the outside. I know he's been doing that for a while now, ringside commentary. Money in the Bank winner battles. Sandow puts up a good fight. Last night, I really saw a side of Sandow that I thought he seems like he can really be a prominent, tough contender. And I really like how him and Cody Rhodes kind of play off each other. They were awesome, awesome tag team partners, and they made just as great enemies. So kind of like to keep that going. There was a distraction by Cody with the briefcase. He's trying to rip it off the handcuff, and Sandow gets RKO'd. But I like this feud going right now, Cody Rhodes and Sandow. They made awesome tag team partners, I won't say it again, but they make even just as good enemies. They have a really good chemistry. Keep that up one way or another. They both really know how to draw attention to themselves. And so after that, Kali and Natalya versus Biggie Langston and AJ. There was a goof somewhere. Some would say it was a referee. Some would say it was AJ. I'd have to look at it again. It was very, very awkward. You don't see that too often in professional wrestling on that particular level. However, it happens. So you just grin and bear it, move on. But I really think that somebody dropped the ball. Somebody got ripped backstage, I'm pretty sure. But Langston ambushes Kali, turns into a bit of a schmog after that. So nothing, there's a mistake, something happened somewhere. After that, Ms. McMahon comes out to the ring. He calls Greg Maddox. He wants an explanation. Maddox asks McMahon if he can be ref at SummerSlam in the main event after letting McMahon know why he did what he did. McMahon grants him his wish, but then, of course, son-in-law comes out. Triple H pedigrees Maddox. It's good to see a classic Triple H doing that. And Triple H will be the next ref. Chris had mentioned there was supposed to be a heel turn with Triple H and Vince McMahon. Obviously, something else is coming up. I'm still going to go too far away that that's still going to be the end all. But good to see Triple H at SummerSlam. Of course, he won't be competing, but he will be special guest referee. And I'm looking forward to see how that's going to play out. Kane versus Titus O'Neil. I'm glad Kane won. Choke slammed O'Neil. It was a pretty simple finish. Wyatt, of course, came to the ring doing after their little rituals. Kane fouls the Wyatts. What's funny is he shows up after the darkness. Nobody knows where he is. They see him up the top of the ramp. Fire shoots out of the ring post. Classic Kane. That was a good spectacle. The Wyatts were definitely taken by a bit of surprise. Of course, they're not going to show it. But it leads into the match this weekend. It's an Inferno match, what they call the Ring of Fire match. I guess it kind of suits the hillbilly, whatever the Wyatts are. So looking forward to that. Again, I like to see Kane win. I like to see the classic flame shooting out. It's going to make the match that much better? Question mark. So we'll get that. Alberto Del Rio is obviously done. He needs Ricardo. Ricardo, ring announcer, he was the mouthpiece for Alberto Del Rio. I mentioned last week about the managers in the 80s, how you really haven't seen anything like that since. Ricardo, he's coming close. He's more of a ring announcer, per se. However, he's got what it... Keep him in there, Alberto. You're an idiot for letting him go. You're an idiot for beating him the way you did. Who knows what's going to happen after this. We want to see Ricardo Rodriguez again. Probably. He'll probably run in SummerSlam, mess up Alberto Del Rio. So we'll just have to see what happens on that. I don't really know anything else to say. It was a pointless match. Kofi Kingston, whoopee-doo-doo. The Real Americans versus the Usos. Usos squeaked out a win. Real Americans are still running strong. The Usos beat them. I was kind of shocked by that. Didn't think it'd be that clean of a win. However, it is what it is. So enough talk about that. Let's go to the Miz TV with Cena and Daniel Bryan. Cena, in my opinion, trumped Bryan on the mic. His promo, he just really cut Bryan in half. But doing that mainly. Again, Cena is he's booed and he's cheered tonight. Minute, I like that. Cena fan, everyone knows that. But he really stuck at the Daniel Bryan last night, and Bryan did the same. Cena is still just kind of tired. That one. Taps Bryan, takes his shirt off, pumps up, acts all tough. Triple H comes to the ring as well as Orton holding up the briefcase. I'm looking forward to this. This main event is going to be looking at what's going on with SummerSlam. It looks like it could almost really take the cake. I'd like to see Daniel Bryan win. Is that going to happen? Who knows? I mean, he's still playing the little up and coming type of guy. John Cena is a towering giant that's been in the game for many years now, come to think of it. Doesn't seem like it. He's still just John Cena thugonomics to me. So, interesting take on that. The Miz TV, he always stirs up the pot. But, again, with Triple H coming out and Randy Orton holding up the briefcase, what's Randy Orton's intentions going to be at the SummerSlam? Is he going to Trump using the briefcase for his Money in the Bank treat? I don't know if I see him doing that yet. I'll be surprised if he does, but I won't be as surprised, if that makes any sense. Of course not. This is Derek, Raw correspondent, Pancakes and Power Slams. Call in 347-884-8452. Get into the chat room, tweet. We still have another 15 minutes here on the show, so let's keep the ball rolling. Fandango against R-Truth. I've been a Fandango advocate for a long time, but even I think it's getting kind of old. I never thought I'd say that. I don't want to say that. I thought, who cares what I think? 20-man battle royal for a shot at the U.S. title at SummerSlam. So, decent run-of-the-mill battle royal. There wasn't any really high spots that I can really think of that stood out. However, Henry and RVD were the last two contestants. RVD wins. I'm looking forward to that. I think RVD and Dean Ambrose could probably put on a really good show. I really think RVD is still... I consider him in his prime. You saw him backstage doing the splits on the chairs. Wow. Unless he had something standing him up behind him. He's in his 40s. He's in tip-top shape. Probably is some of the best shape of any of the stars there today. And he can still tear the house down. Proved that last night. And with Dean Ambrose, it's going to be phenomenal. And it's for for the U.S. title, obviously, so... RVD, he's got a decent shot at it. Will he win? Odds are probably not, but anything can happen in the World Wrestling Entertainment. And so, of course, after that, Shield runs out. Big Show joins RVD and Mark Henry in the ring. I kind of thought Henry was supposed to retire a while ago. At least he gave that big old speech that you hear from a lot of people. So, and I thought after Cena beating him that he was, in fact, want to go. He's still sticking around. I'm not too upset about it. I don't really care. I like Mark Henry, so. But we could see something, Big Show and Mark Henry against the Shield. I see that. I don't see RVD joining Big Show and Henry. Big Show and Henry, a team enough to probably take on five people. The Shield is only three, so there's a good that'll be a good run. I kind of like to see the Shield had a promo earlier in the evening. I've been talking about the last few weeks how I'd like to see the Shield kind of come back to what they were when they first came out as this big powerhouse. I saw a little glimmer of that last night. They seemed to, or they just cut a great promo. Who knows? I'm behind the Shield. Want to see them continue to grow. Paul Heyman and Lesnar calls out CM Punk. Punk attacks Brock with the camera. I thought that was hilarious. I'd like to see that more often. I used to do that when I was a kid playing with my little G.I. Joe toys. They'd be wrestling. I'd pretend one of the guns was a camera, and he'd go and beat him in the face with it. So it was good. That's a great homage to my childhood. Anyway, other than that, and let's see, what else? Lost my spot. Oh, then of course, he brings out a chair. Heyman runs up the ramp, then Axel comes down, stops Punk. CM Punk retaliates against Axel. CM Punk walked out tall. He ended Monday Night Raw last night being the dominant one. And what that says going into SummerSlam, usually if you're successful on Raw, on the pay-per-view, you bomb. But that's just my observation. Monday Night Raw, decent Raw going into SummerSlam. I can't wait next week. We'll be talking about SummerSlam, pancakes, and power slams. 11 o'clock every night, every Tuesday night. So I'm anxious to hear what any of you have to say, 347-884-8452. And I'm going to go right into the flavor of the week tonight. It's SummerSlam season, obviously. And I've got a little thing set up, SummerSlam 1988. It's the first SummerSlam. No, I'm not going to talk about the matches. I'm not going to talk about what happened, yada, yada, yada. What I want to talk about is there are 10 superstars from SummerSlam 1988 who are now deceased. That's half the roster that wrestled on. Just about everybody from one of the matches, somebody's dead. And it's a shame. It's horrible. I want to go over some of them. Well, I'm going to go over all of them. There's 10 of them. Davey Boy Smith, British Bulldogs. He died, heart problems. Who doesn't know who Davey Boy Smith is? British Bulldog, I mean, just a beast, a powerhouse. Power Slam, everyone remembers his dog Matilda, back with the British Bulldogs in the early mid-80s. Unfortunately, Davey Boy Smith passed away, I believe it was around 2002. It's very sad. Somebody who still had a few good years left in him. And probably somebody you'd still see around backstage or on the sidelines. Shout out to Davey Boy Smith. Bad News Brown. This is another one. He had the Ghetto Blaster. I mean, he was from, I believe it was Harlem, New York, is where he was billed from. Outside of that, he was a judo champion. I mean, this guy was no one to play with. He had some awesome angles in his career as far as with Roddy Piper, with Bret Hart, some to mention. He is also one that fell victim to heart problems, died in his sleep. I believe it was 2004. Very unfortunate. Never forget the Ghetto Blaster. I think of some people I'd like to get a blaster now and then. After that, you had Rick Rude. Rick Rude, that was a shame. Again, he died, I believe it was 2002, 2003, same thing, heart problems. Ravishing Rick Rude, somebody who just really kind of stayed on top of his game the whole time he was wrestling, when he was active. For a short time, he was with the Generation X as their insurance policy. And it was always a treat to see him. You always knew you were going to get the best out of him. Like, again, he stayed on top of his game. Intercontinental champion, awesome feuds with the Ultimate Warrior and Jake Snake Roberts, just to name a few. Heart problems, too bad. Junkyard Dog, everyone remembers Thump. That was written on his hind end. And he came out the dog chain. He was with the WWF during their huge rock and wrestling inception. And he unfortunately died in an auto accident in 1998. Another person who had a lot of more good years left in him, all these guys did. I mean, they all left before their time. And Dino Bravo, unfortunately, was murdered. He was shot gangland style. I believe they found 9 bullet holes in him. Not to be graphic, but I read into things. So he had Frenchie Martin. He also had a run with a tag team with the Earthquake. And so he's another character, Canada's Strongest Man. I remember that was his moniker. And part of after that, after Frenchie Martin, he was with the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. And then to his unfortunate demise, he is no longer with us. And I believe that was early 92, 93 was when Dino Bravo expired. Big Boss Man, another one. I believe his was Heart Problems as well. He was, everyone remembers him as a police officer, obviously, corrections officer in the WWF. He was managed by Slick. They were the Colossus, they were the Twin Towers with Akeem. And he had a great run in WWF. Eventually, he had a big feud with the Heenan family. Went on to WCW as Ray Traylor. And he was all right in WCW. They didn't really hone his skill or use him to his fullest potential. He came back to a WWF as a just boss man, part of the corporation under Vince McMahon. That lasted a couple years. He was still with WWF until his demise. So after that, we have the Mighty Hercules. Hercules Hernandez, if some remember that from back in the day. Dropped the Hernandez, went on to the Hercules. Another unfortunate with heart problems. Outside of wrestling, he was actually a huge bodybuilder. He was in a lot of muscle fitness magazines. And, of course, he'd always come out swinging the chain. And he was also in a team, Power and Glory, in the early 90s. And another, all these, everybody I've mentioned tonight so far went before their time, before they still had some energy left in them to tear the house down. After the Hercules, Macho Man Randy Savage. Snap into a Slim Jim, maybe he had one too many. He also had heart problems. Unfortunately, his heart exploded when he was driving down the road in his car. And he's no longer with us. Of course, I don't have to explain Randy Savage's career. Everyone knows he's probably one of the top talents that wrestling has ever seen with WWF, WCW when he was in Mid-South, Jerry Lawler in the early 80s. Somebody who just really always knew how to capture your attention. He had Miss Elizabeth. Miss Elizabeth, let me lead into that. She's another one who was no longer with us. She was Randy Savage's valet, what they now call Divas, back in SummerSlam 1988. They were an awesome pair. The two of them together, everybody loved to see them. They eventually get married at SummerSlam 1991, the match made in heaven. Eventually parted ways with WWF, had a run in WCW. However, Elizabeth, she died of an apparent drug overdose, which is very sad. Don't want to hear that. And those are two. They are not with us anymore. The last one that I have on the list for tonight is probably, well, the biggest person in wrestling, Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant died of complications. He's had since birth due to his large body frame. I guess his body just kind of shut down on him. The last few times you saw Andre, he had crutches. You knew that, you know, he was never going to be able to get back in the ring. WrestleMania III, he just complained of back problems. However, he still went out as a huge class act, letting Hulk Hogan retain the title, WrestleMania III. But that is one big tragedy. And like I've mentioned before, I've dabbled in professional wrestling on the indie circuit on a lower scale, but I have met some of the bigger names on shows in different cities. Everybody who had anything to do with WWF back in the 80s or even with WCW in the early 90s, everybody has their Andre the Giant stories. Everybody, I mean, you sit around. All you want to hear about is Andre the Giant stories, and they have nothing but great stuff to say to him. So that is the 10 deceased wrestlers from SummerSlam 1988. Very sad, but I think we will now get Chris back on the line, throw in your 2 cents. And, again, great job, man. I'm so proud to be a part of Pancakes and Power Slams. And this is Derek, the Raw, course, the Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. Give it back over to Chris. Talk to everybody next week. Thank you very much. I will actually be back on here shortly So please stay tuned. Thank you.
Fantastic as always. Couldn't have said any better as far as the names that were said. Great descriptions of those. Great job. All right, let's spend the next couple of minutes real quick. Just who you think is going to win? Let's go down the list. The SummerSlam predictions. We got Dean Ambrose versus Rob Van Dam. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna let you start off first.
Oh, this is a hard one. I want to see. I like both of them. Rob, I can see where Rob Van Dam deserves it. I can see why Dean Ambrose would keep it, keep the Shield running. I'm gonna say Dean Ambrose will win. I'm really split, torn by it, but I'm gonna go Dean Ambrose.
All right. I'm gonna go with Dean Ambrose as well. Next we have John Cena against Daniel Bryan. Who you got with that?
With that, I believe I will see John Cena recapture the title. Daniel Bryan's on a really huge hot streak, and if he doesn't win at SummerSlam, he's still going to have his hot streak. He's still going to continue going. John Cena is always going to be John Cena. However, Daniel Bryan, I think, will probably lose, unfortunately.
I got Daniel Bryan because I reported on Bleacher Report that John Cena is scheduled for surgery, so that means there's a really good chance that he will drop the title. Daniel Bryan will win the title, and let's go forward here. Natalya versus Brie Bella.
Who? No, I'm just kidding. I see Brie Bella winning. But they're hyped with the Diva show and everything. I really think they'll probably squeak the win out. So, yep.
Yeah. Brie Bella. I'm gonna go with Brie Bella as well. All right. Let's got about a couple minutes here. Actually, about a minute and a half. Dolph Ziggler versus and Caitlin versus Big E, Lance and AJ Lee. Real quick. I've got Big E and AJ just because they lost on Raw, and it was really bad.
It could either go really both ways, but I agree as well. Big E, Langston, and AJ will probably pull.
Kane versus Bray Wyatt, Ring of Fire match. I think there's absolutely no way that Bray Wyatt will lose. I think Kane is just there to put Bray Wyatt over, and that's it.
Yep, exactly. That's what I think.
Cody Rhodes versus Damian Sandow, singles match. I think Cody Rhodes will actually win this match because Damian Sandow has the case. So if he loses, it wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, I agree on that one as well. I believe that's going to be a really good show or a really good match. So I believe Cody Rhodes will probably win. Yep.
Alberto Del Rio versus Christian for the World Heavyweight Championship. I think the blandness of Del Rio will cause him to lose his title, and Christian winning all of these matches leading to there, I think he'll still win it. I think Christian will be the new champ.
Yeah, I believe it as well. I really want to see Christian win. I've said I'm a big supporter of Christian. I've always been. Alberto Del Rio has been kind of blah lately, but maybe, like I mentioned, Ricardo may have something to do with it, maybe not. So I will pass it over to Chris to close us down. Thank you.
All right. Last match is CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. Real quick, I've got I think Punk's going to win.
Punk's going to win, but it's going to be unbelievable. So, but we're used to seeing Brock losing when he really tries to step up. So I'm with you, CM Punk.
Totally agree. Thank you all so much. Fantastic job, Crimson. 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket for next week. Follow at Crave Wrestling. Until next week, have a great week of wrestling and enjoy your week. God bless. Goodbye.